Welcome to the National Association of Realtors Commercial Podcast. This is the forum that features interviews with top commercial experts from across the country, sharing their best practices to help you improve your business.
Welcome to the podcast. We have a special guest today, Jim Gillespie, PhD. He is the owner of Advanced Commercial Real Estate Coaching. Jim has over 30 years of experience in commercial real estate. He's been a successful agent and manager, and he's been president of three different commercial real estate companies, including AIR, Commercial Real Estate Association, which was the predominant association for commercial real estate brokers in Southern California. Jim has been published in, interviewed by, and or written about in the New York Times, the Los Angeles Times, Money Magazine, Realty Times, Broker Agent News, where he's been recognized as being their editorial contributor of the year, the California Real Estate Journal, First for Women Magazine, Commercial Investment Real Estate Magazine, and the SIOR Professional Report. Since 1998, Jim has focused full-time on coaching and training commercial real estate agents, and more than 400 articles written within the industry, and he's been read by tens of thousands of commercial brokers. Welcome to the call.
Alex, thanks so much for having me.
This is a thrill for me. You and I have kind of done some things over the years together, and I just have a profound respect for your organization, especially you and what you do in commercial real estate. And there's such a tremendous need for this kind of thing, what you do with coaching and helping people to grow in their commercial practice, that it is a thrill and a privilege for me to have you on for a few short minutes to share with our NAR commercial practitioners how they can improve their business. And a topic we picked today was power prospecting. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, Alex, power prospecting, the most powerful part of prospecting is actually just getting it done. It's sort of like from the old Field of Dreams movie. You know, if you build it, he will come. If you do the prospecting, they will come. Your prospects will come. So if there's one thing that I can ingrain in people's minds, it's just get it done. And that, you know, that is what so many commercial brokers struggle with, is setting aside the time, doing the prospecting. And unfortunately, many brokers have the attitude of, well, I'll squeeze it in when I got the time around all these other things that I have to get done. And if that's where you're coming from, you're going to be doomed. You're not going to get it done. There's going to be holes in your pipeline, and you're not going to make nearly as much money as you could be if you made prospecting a top priority and got it done every single week.
I love that. It reminds me of the Stephen Covey, you know, the story about, you know, where he puts the big rocks in first in the jar, and then he puts in the pebbles, and then he puts in the sand, and then he puts in the water. But he easily demonstrates that if you try to do it in any other way, you can't get it all done. But if you put the big things first, in this case, prospecting, everything else falls into place.
It's kind of like, you know, going to the gym in the morning, basically. People don't like doing it. They want to avoid the workout. But when you get it done, it starts you out feeling great about the day, that you've done something good for yourself. Same thing with prospecting. I recommend that you schedule the time in advance and hold the time sacred. Schedule it for the exact same hours of the same days throughout the week. You know, block it out in your calendar through the end of the year so that now everything else has to revolve around that time. And it's your number one priority to make sure you're getting that done instead of, again, trying to find the time to fit it in throughout the week.
Absolutely. What are some ideas on the best forms of prospecting?
Generally speaking, in terms of the different alternatives, it usually comes down to picking up the phone and dialing people or knocking on doors, okay? And picking up the phone usually works for most people because if you're knocking on doors, that's usually going to apply primarily to office and industrial, and you're going to be knocking on the doors of tenants in buildings as well as in industrial, some owner users. So if you really want to go after listings, you're going to have to be calling people at their home or their place of business, depending on what your database looks like, because if you're knocking on doors, you're going to find a lot of tenants as opposed to owners. So phone prospecting is extremely important to get done. And if you're an office or industrial, you know, you can mix it up by knocking on doors and doing phone prospecting too.
Well, let's talk about that. We always used to refer to it as the 300-pound telephone. It's very difficult to pick that up for the first call. Are there some tips or some best practices? I know you coach hundreds, if not thousands, of agents. What are some tips and best practices to get that done?
Well, I'll tell you one. There's a couple of things that just jump out at me right now as we're talking. And one is, and I this was a very creative approach by a broker that I interviewed years ago, a top broker, and he said what he likes to do is create this imaginary prospecting character that he gets into before he picks up the phone. That, just like an actor or an actress would play a role, he steps into this prospecting character where he feels it's not him and it's now this character that he's playing, which makes it much easier for him to pick up the phone and dial. And if people are rude or they reject him or they slam the phone down, it just bounces off of him like Teflon because it's not him personally. And then when he's done with his session, he steps out of the character and back into himself. And that's one way that he deals with it very effectively. And it's something
huge.
Else that I say, I think it's great. I mean, I've told this to brokers and they go, God, that's great. I'm going to try to implement that myself. And another approach that I say is, if you've got 3 hours of prospecting blocked out and you're going, oh, my gosh, do I really want to pick up the phone? Just do this. Just say, you know what? I'm going to pick up the phone, and I'm going to dial people for 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And then after that moment in time, if I feel that I don't want to prospect anymore, I'll give myself the permission to not do so because the mind is really slick, Alex. Most of the time that we don't like prospecting is not when we're engaged in it. It's when we're not, and we're fighting the idea and resisting it. But once we've been doing prospecting for 15 or 20 minutes or so, strangely, it starts to feel pretty good, and we're much more okay with it. So say I'm going to prospect 15, 20 minutes, and if I decide I want to get off the phone at that time, I will. But usually by that point, you feel like you're in a groove, you're liking it, you're much more in touch with how you need to do this to develop your brokerage business, and it becomes much easier after the first 15 or 20 minutes or so.
Oh, I love that. It's a little bit like the example I use is going to church. Do I really want to get up on Sunday? Yeah, I get dressed up. But every time when you get there, it's like, oh, wow, I'm really glad I went to church, And that sounds very similar, It's like, oh, the 300-pound telephone. Well, what about prospecting? There's two questions that come to mind. How do you find, you can't just go to the phone book. I mean, how do you get these numbers that are targeted to your niche? Is there some tricks of the trade? And what about do not call lists and how that affects commercial brokers and all that?
Yes, and regarding do not call lists, check with your manager, check with your attorney for your firm. But generally speaking, the way that people have interpreted those within the industry is if you're calling people at their place of business, that's okay. But if you're calling them at their place of residence, and you've got no prior relationship with them, that's now getting into the arena more of the do not call list.
Okay.
So I would check on that. But generally speaking, I haven't heard people say there's a problem as long as you're calling people at their place of business in their office.
Mm-hmm.
But check with legal counsel, check with your manager, and get their opinion on this too.
Absolutely. What about finding good quality phone lists so that you spend, if you're going to spend 3 hours, you don't want to spend 2.5 hours looking up numbers, right?
Sure. And what I would recommend around that is if you don't have the administrative people to do this for you, to consider hiring a virtual assistant.
Mm-hmm.
A good place to go for that is the website IVAA.org. That's the International Virtual Assistants Association. You can find people that you can pay, depending on what they're charging, $15 to $65 an hour, who do these kinds of things on an ongoing basis. And then the resources for that, a good service in our industry, is, as many brokers know, is Prospect Now at prospectnow.com. It was formed by a former Marcus Emilichap agent, a wonderful guy who I've interviewed at different times. They say that they have phone numbers for approximately 60% of owners of properties, and they've got the mailing address there too. So that would be a good place to go to start out. And then another great service is LexisNexis at LexisNexis.com. You can get all sorts of information, phone numbers on people. People who are private detectives and attorneys subscribe to this service too when they want to find out more about people. So between those two resources, that's something that I think brokers should take a look at.
Wow, that's fantastic. Those are great resources. Virtual assistants. Do you find a lot of the people that you coach are using virtual assistants? Seems like a great idea.
It's really big on the residential side of the business. On commercial, it's been much slower to develop. Actually, let me give another resource around that. My own virtual assistant, Janine, is wonderful. Janine Klontz, her last name is C-L-O-N-T-Z. She's out of the St. Louis area, 888-547-6392. She's done stuff for a lot of my commercial broker coaching clients. So I know she's, generally speaking, more up to speed than most virtual assistants would be in working with commercial brokers. So
give me that number again.
This is just my head. I've got this emblazoned in my mind because I've been working with her for so many years. 888-547-6392. Wonderful person, extremely reliable. I've used her for so many years. She's worked with a number of commercial broker clients of mine. And so she's more up to speed than the average virtual assistant would be on the street in terms of working with commercial brokers.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that information for sure. And, of course, if somebody wants to get opinions and or bids from others in the virtual assistant arena, the IVAA.org would also be a good source. So maybe they can check and cross-check availability
and
pricing.
Very quickly, I just want to mention with virtual assistants, since they're not going to be in your office anyway, they don't need to be geographically close to you. You're going to be in contact with them by phone, by the internet, by email. So don't think that this is somebody that's got to be in your same city. You want to hire the best person for the job wherever they're located. And, just keep that in mind because you need the best as opposed to the one who's living the closest to you.
That makes sense. Yeah, absolutely. Today, we're literally seamless. I mean, I was in Africa with my daughter. It's still, 7-8 hour time difference and a world, half a world away. And with my computer and with my phone, I was still in contact with my clients. And it's just amazing what you can do in my office. And we were doing stuff that you wouldn't, I actually made 2 sales while I was on a different continent. So all of that
That's
is
great.
Very possible. Yep. Well, we're kind of winding down towards the end of the podcast, and I don't want to get away without maybe summarizing some of the things we talked about today. We have 15 minutes. I wish I had an hour and 15 minutes with you because the quality of what you share and all of the work you do in coaching is just so awesome. We need to have another program where we can get you more of your time. But what would you say would be the top 3 takeaways in power prospecting and things people need to remember?
Okay. So schedule your prospecting time in advance and hold it sacred. Let nothing stand in the way. Block it out in your contact management system for the same days of the week and hours of those days between now and the rest of the year, and let nothing get in the way. When you have this in your mind, that prospecting is what gets scheduled first and everything else, all these other appointments, I have to work around that and tell somebody if they say, can you do this at 10 o'clock in the morning tomorrow? You say, no, I've got something else scheduled at that time. Can we do it at 2 in the afternoon instead? Hold it sacred. Suggest alternative times for meetings with people, okay? Your most important initial goal when talking with a decision maker, once you get them on the phone, is to get them interested in engaging in a conversation with you. You need to get out of that mode where you're feeling, oh, I hope they don't hang up the phone on me. Offer them something of value. They come on the line, you say, there's a property that's come on the market near yours that I think will give you a great idea of what your building is worth in today's market. Would you be interested in hearing about it? And so many owners would like to know about information like that. When they invite you in to tell them the information, you tell it to them, and then they allow you to ask the questions that you want to know the answers to. They reciprocate with you because you've done something nice for them. And then ask yourself, here's the final one, and you can put this up as a sign in your office to remind you of this. If I were to prospect 10 to 12 hours every week over the next year, how much money would I be making? And if you like the answer to that, just get your prospecting done with no excuses.
I love it. I actually did track I did it on presentations. This was about 10 years ago, and I found out that I made $10,000 an hour that year. I mean, because I only made so many presentations, and I got so many listings from it, and then I got so many sales from that. It was just ridiculous. I mean, it was a big number. So
absolutely.
It was crazy.
Yeah. And with that in mind, with what we talked about with the VAs, every hour you can pay somebody $15 to $50 an hour to free up that $10,000 an hour, that's a huge return on your money. Hand off everything you can to the VA for that rate, and you'll be making a ton more money with the additional time you got to develop more new business.
Yeah, yeah. My average, hourly rate, and if you divide what I earned all year long by the number of hours I worked, would be less than that. But if you just looked at the hours that I made presentations and the direct listings I got from those presentations and the closings I had, it was $10,000 for every hour I was in front of a client. I'm not joking. And I tracked that
That's
for
great.
Like a 2 years. It was just amazing. All right, well, we're out of time, but I can't thank you enough for being with us on our commercial podcast for NAR. We've been talking with Jim Gillespie, PhD, and real estate coach. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you so much, Alex.
Thanks for being with us on the National Association of Realtors Commercial Podcast, the place for you to learn the best practices from the best commercial experts in the country.